Hi, this is Ryan James Brando, Artistic Director of Princeton Pro Musica. On March 13th, we will present Annalise, the first major choral setting of The Diary of Anne Frank, composed by British composer James Whitbourne on a libretto created by Melanie Challenger. This performance was originally scheduled for March of 2020, when it would have marked 75 years since the end of World War II. 75 years since the liberation of the concentration camps, the end of one of the darkest periods in our history, and also the year the world lost a voice of hope and light, the voice of Anne Frank. When the Nazis gained control of Germany, Anne and her family moved from Frankfurt to Amsterdam. For her 13th birthday in June of 1942, she received a book that she would use as a diary. The family went into hiding in July 1942 for 2 years until their capture by the Gestapo in August 1944. They were sent to concentration camps. Anne and her sister Margot were transferred from Auschwitz to Bergen-Belsen, where they died just weeks before British soldiers would liberate it on April 15, 1945. But rather than become one of those millions whose stories we may never know, Annalise Frank became known to the world. Her diary, published in dozens of languages, has taken countless readers directly into her story, into her many observations, wise beyond her years, into her dreams and fantasies, into her fears, and ultimately, into her almost miraculous optimism. Challenger's libretto, a thoughtful curation of assorted diary entries arrayed in 14 movements, is a work of art unto itself, teeming with Anne's humanity. The entries she chose capture the dramatic, wrenching ups and downs of Anne's situation. The libretto's most urgent moments relay the episode in which Anne fears that she and her family have been discovered in their hiding spot and will be captured. 8 pounding hearts, footsteps on the stairs, a rattling on the bookcase, suddenly a couple of bangs, doors slammed inside the house. Other entries reveal her awareness of the devastating sadness and helplessness of the situation, buoyed, though, by her empathy. In one, she recounts a dream. "Last night, just as I was falling asleep, an old friend appeared before me. I saw her there, dressed in rags, her face thin and worn. She looked at me with such sadness. 'Anne, why have you deserted me? Help me, help me. Rescue me from this hell.' She symbolizes to me the suffering of all my friends and all the Jews. When I pray for her, I pray for all those in need. Merciful God, comfort her, remain with her so she won't be alone." Other entries, like those from March of 1944, convey Anne's profound, unvarnished wisdom. Quote, "If you become part of the suffering, you'll be entirely lost." Or, "Beauty remains, even in misfortune. One who is happy will make others happy. One who has courage will never die in misery." To relay the Frank family's capture and evoke the horrendous suffering and murder of millions, Challenger also includes words from sources other than Anne's diary. First, a contemporary report delivered simply, chillingly really, as plain chant in the tenor and bass voices. And then, passages from the Book of Psalms and the Book of Lamentations. The composer, James Whitbourne, says of this libretto, "Rarely have I found a text so compelling and the inspiration for so much thought simply as a document in its own right. But as time went on, and as I worked on the score, I became more aware of Anne Frank as a contemporary person." Whitbourne had the opportunity to meet members of Anne Frank's family, and noted, "These personal family links influenced the kind of piece it was destined to be, and at times it felt as though I were putting together the music for the family's memorial service. It was to be a commemorative work, not only for Anne Frank, but for those by whose side she lived, those she watched with penetrating eyes, and those voiceless millions who shared her fate." Indeed, Whitbourne's music gives voice to Anne herself and to those voiceless millions using a variety of choral and orchestral textures. The score calls for a full chorus, as well as a small concertante ensemble, a choral sound with a different atomic weight altogether. The full chorus sustains the weight of both the most dramatic scenes, near captures, and some of the more universal pronouncements, such as, "When this war is over, we'll be people again, and not just Jews." The concertante ensemble delivers some of the more simple, profound statements. As for the soprano soloist, the multiple modes Whitborn has created for her, different tempi, different vocal registers, reflect the facets of Anne's perspective. The soprano can be pensive, where Anne is pensive, singing in long phrases necessitating a mature vocalism. She can be playful, as when she delights at seagulls swooping outside her windows and conjures a spinning waltz with the solo violin, or when she turns bath time into a music hall oompa oompa ditty. And her presence looms between her sung diary entries. The first time we hear the soprano, she's off stage and sings a wordless vocalese. The orchestral textures, too, sharpen the image of Anne in the mind's eye. A battery of percussion and trio of trombones heighten the more heart-pounding moments. At other times, the texture is reduced to just solo soprano and piano, or a few strings. Gorgeous lyrical passages for solo instruments throughout convey the emotive context latent in the spaces between the lines of Anne's diary entries. This remarkable piece of music captures more than Anne's words. In Whitborn's own summation, Annalise is a piece of musical portraiture in which the essence of a young girl is portrayed in the fragile medium of the human breath. The particular portrait will be constructed in the minds of all who hear those sounds on this day and in this place. Through it, the wisdom and perception of Anne Frank is there to teach us all. Reading and then hearing her words, her convictions amplified and broadcast through music, I realize that she was, and remains, the very model of a young person imbued with a sense of purpose, fueled by hope, ready to impugn indifference and inertia. That she is, above all, hopeful, links my heart and her to the promise of some of the heroically impassioned young women currently confronting our world's injustices and threats head-on, who, like Anne, express themselves with conviction beyond their years. The diary entry chosen for the last movement encapsulates both Anne's hope and the hope she instills in her many readers. Quote, "I see the world is slowly being turned into wilderness. I hear the approaching thunder that will one day destroy us too. And yet, when I look at the sky, I feel that everything will change for the better." Anne would not live to see her own manifestation of that, quote, blue sky. Were she alive today, she'd celebrate her 93rd birthday in June. I hope our attempt to breathe life into her story with music renders it as more than words on a page and indeed rekindles her spirit. One story, of course, could never and should never encapsulate an entire tragedy. There were millions like Anne who perished, their stories untold. Tragically, frustratingly, in the 77 years since World War II ended, there have been other genocides and atrocities that have destroyed, displaced, or damaged forever millions more. Hearing their stories, reading their words, and singing their songs sheds light on our shared humanity, powerfully dissolving looming shadows of dehumanizing categorization and othering. Let's let this story remind us we have much to learn from the innate optimism and wisdom of children around the globe, for this world is, and will be, theirs.